If you would, please turn to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8, please. And as we go to Acts chapter 8, I would like the gentleman that I've asked to help me to come in with my illustration this morning. As you know, there was an event that there was four friends that was wanting to take a friend of theirs to see Jesus. And they had, you can stop right there, gentlemen, and you can set that down, and then you can sit wherever you want, and I'll call on you again. But these four friends had heard about Jesus, and they heard about the miracles of Jesus Christ, and not only did they hear about the miracles of Jesus Christ, they saw the miracles of Jesus Christ. But they had such faith that they got their friend on his bed and carried their friend to Jesus. And when there was an obstacle, they said, I don't care. No matter what the obstacle is, we're going to carry our friend to Jesus Christ. And they ripped off the roof and they started luring the friend to Jesus. And Jesus recognized that faith. This morning, I want to read several verses with you this morning out of Acts chapter 8. And we're going to read in verse 26, please. And we'll start in verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go towards the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, Go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Verse 32, And the place of the scripture which he read was this, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation? For his life was taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scriptures and preached unto him Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, I come to you this morning and I ask you, Father, for your help. Father, as I hide behind the cross of Calvary, I pray, Father, as we open up the word, as we speak the word this morning, I pray that you'll show up this morning as I hide behind the cross of Calvary. I pray that you empower me. I pray that you speak through me. That, Father, that these dear folks can see your unseen hand in this passage of Scripture, but at the same time can see your unseen hand that's operating in their life at this very moment. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of Scripture, just a brief history here, we see that before Jesus left this earth, he had trained some men. And as he had trained some men, he had left them responsible with his church. And he had commanded them, Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel. Now, if you go to look at Matthew 28, that is a commission to the church, not to the apostles. If it was a commission to the apostles when they died, that commission would have died with them. But we see that commission was given to the church, and we see the perpetuation of the gospel will continue forever and ever and ever because Jesus said, I will build my church. And that's why this morning it's so important that we look at the obedience of the believer, because God wants his word to carry forward. And he wants to use men and women. But as you know, we see that the church became comfortable in Jerusalem. And as they became a bit comfortable, we see they stayed there, and we see that persecution came to the church. And as persecution came upon the church, we see that the apostles stayed in Jerusalem, but it was the laymen that went out and dispersed. It was the laymen that was out preaching the gospel. It was the laymen that was out as they was dispersed into other cities and others and other villages, and it was the laymen that was doing so. Not the apostles. And that's why this morning there is such a demand on we as church members to do our part, as the pastor does his part, as the missionary does his part, in order for you to take care of the Jerusalem while the missionary is representing you overseas. And I believe this morning that if we are to reach the world for Jesus Christ, I believe there are three men that are needed. And we'll see this in this passage. If we're to reach England for the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe there are three men that are needed. And you'll see that in this passage. But I believe this morning that if we're to reach Jacksonville, or if we're to reach Indiana, if we're to reach the United States, I believe there are three men that are needed in this church house this morning. And this morning, I want to draw out those three men and for you to identify who they are and for you to ask yourselves, where am I in those three men? And as you look at yourselves this morning, I don't want you to look at the pastor, I don't want you to look at the missionary, but I want you to look at yourself. Because God loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you. He loved you so much that he gave you a pastor. He loved you so much that you have the King James Bible to read from. So this morning, as we look at this, and for time's sake, I want you to go with me to Acts chapter 8, verse 34. And the first man we want to identify, and as we look at this, three men that are needed, I want you to look at the first man, and that is the man who will save, and that's the Savior. That's the Savior. He should be first and foremost in every one of our lives, isn't it? Because you see, you are the only Bible that Jacksonville will ever read. And if Christ is the center of your life, my goodness, man, you will be a wonderful testimony to them. But as we look at this morning, we see in verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Boy, did he get that right. Jesus was some other man, wasn't he? He wasn't flesh. He was all God and he was all man, wasn't he? He was perfect. He was sinless. But you see, as we look at this, the eunuch had been reading the scroll of Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 53 concerning Christ. And we see this place of scripture, it was read as this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shears, so opened not his mouth. Could you imagine? We see in Isaiah 53, this portrays the suffering Messiah. We see that Jesus was the promised Messiah in the Old Testament. And as we look at this morning, could you imagine when Jesus stood before his accusers, when Jesus was accused of all these wrongdoings, and there was that one moment when Jesus did not say one thing? Could you imagine that? I have two boys that, man, if anything ever is said about them, man, they're so quick to justify themselves, to try to justify themselves. Here is God in the flesh, God incarnate. What could he say when he knew that he was heading for the cross of Calvary, when he knew that he had to bear that cross for you and I? What else could he say? He had to take that judgment. He had to take that shame. Could you imagine standing before his accusers and having to be spat upon? Could you imagine having your beard plucked out? Could you imagine being whipped 39 times with the cat of nine tails? Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that as they put that robe back on him, and as that blood coagulated on his robe, they ripped it back off of him again? Could you imagine that? I can't. But I will say this, though. When we lived on a sheep farm in England, we had a shepherd. Her name is Irene. She would come out and all those lambs would follow her. It was the cutest thing. The baby lambs, the big sheep, everything else, it was the cutest thing. Why? Because they knew the voice of the shepherd. But when I came out there, man, those sheep ran. Maybe it's because I was looking at them out of eye. Maybe that's what it was. But when it came for lambing season, they trusted the voice of the shepherd. right into the trailer that was going to lead him to the slaughter. Our Lord Jesus Christ was so submissive to his heavenly Father that he knew that he was going to the slaughter. He knew that he would be our sacrifice. And just like those lambs, they didn't make a squeamish. They didn't make a sound. They distrusted the shepherd. Walking up into that trailer, and for us, watching the sheep that we fed go off to the slaughter, it was hurtful to us. But the shepherd knew this is what they had to do. To think the Heavenly Father knew that the Lord Jesus Christ had to go before the cross of Calvary for you and I. To this, on this side, we think it's such a horrible thing, but God knew, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Sometimes God's love is not necessarily what we think is love, is it? Sometimes we have to go through some hardship in order for others to be saved. But as we look at this too, we see that in order for Jesus to be the perfect Lamb of God, we see that he had to be virgin born. We see in Matthew 1:20, it says, "But while he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." We had a Jehovah Witness come to our door, and he tried to convince me that Jesus Christ was not deity. And you could tell by the way he spoke that he was, you know, he had some education learning. And I said, "Are you really big in science?" He goes, "Oh, yes, I'm really big in science." I said, "All right, then." I said, "As you know in the scriptures, it says that Mary had nothing to do with this conception, nor did Joseph." "That's exactly right. It was of the Holy Ghost." I said, "That's exactly right." I said, "But if it was all of Mary, then a woman would have been born. And if it would have been all of Mary, then as we look at this very thing, then basically if it would have been all of Mary, a woman would have been born and there would have been an XX chromosome. But where did the Y chromosome come from? Why was there a male?" That Jehovah Witness couldn't even say a thing. He walked off my doorstep. But we see in the virgin birth that was all God and man had nothing to do with it. And that's why this morning, if you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I'm here to tell you this morning that Jesus Christ is virgin born. He's all deity. He's God incarnate. And he was a perfect sacrifice. He is a perfect Lamb of God that sufficed the wrath of God, that sufficed the account for sinful man, that sufficed and there was a perfect sacrifice for both you and for me. And that's why this morning we know that we have, in missions and in preaching the gospel, we need a man who will save, and that's the Savior Jesus Christ. As we look at this first man, the man who will save, we also have an understanding that there's a second man. As we look here in verse 27, that second man is a man who will seek, and that's the sinner. Now, we see in our passage of Scripture, we see that Jesus had commissioned the church to preach the gospel, and we see that persecution came into the church. But sometimes when persecution comes into man's life, it's for us to get away from our comfort zone, but for us to get to the place that God can use us. Look with me in verse 27. "And he arose and went, behold, a man of Ethiopia." As we look at this passage of Scripture this morning, I want you to consider that this heathen man had traveled many hundreds of miles to come to Jerusalem from Ethiopia to seek for the way and that he might know God. Now I want you to understand something this morning, that Philip, who was reaching out to this Ethiopian eunuch, if he would have stayed in Jerusalem, he would have never met that Ethiopian man. And here's this Ethiopian, and here's Philip. He's preaching a revival in Samaria, and as he's preaching a revival in Samaria, He was so in tune to God, to God's word, that man, he stopped what he was doing when God told him, I want you to go to the desert. You see, when I grew up in White Settlement, Texas, we were chicken farmers. And my dad had an old Chevy pickup truck that was parked on the side of our house, and we got a citation. Now, can you imagine? I'm 5'3". Can you imagine how tall I was at 7? My dad asked me to get in that truck to steer it. And I stood in the seat, and I tried to steer the steering wheel, and the steering wheel wouldn't go anywhere. Tires half flat. Sitting still. But isn't it amazing that when my dad got behind the steering wheel, or got behind the truck and started pushing it, a 7-year-old could steer that truck anywhere in the backyard? The same is true with a Christian. God can't direct you and God can't steer you if you're sitting still. God wants you to be operational in obedience like Abraham, in order for God to mold you and make you and direct you to that individual that's willing to listen to you. God can't move someone sitting still. And this week, God is asking you to operate in faith. He's asking you to move forward. Why? For the sake of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is calling. But you don't know who's at the other end of your obedience. You don't know who's waiting on you. As we look at this very thing, I want you to understand several things about this Ethiopian, that he was a man that was seeking this Ethiopian. Jeremiah 29:13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What a wonderful crowd we have here this morning. This is such an encouragement. You know why? Because I believe you're wanting something from God this morning. I believe you're here because you love the Lord. I also believe that you're here because you know Brother Ross loves you. But I want you to look at several areas in this Ethiopian's life. I want you to look with me at verse 27. You see, we need men and women who will seek to find God today. Today, this morning. In verse 27, we see that this Ethiopian, he was a man of a high position. Look at verse 27 with me. And we see that, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, an eunuch of great authority. He was an important man. He was a man of stature. He was a man of importance. He was a man in the queen's life, and he had responsibility. He had principles that he operated by. He had charge of all her treasure. He had high position. And in this very thing, in his high position, I want you to look with me at verse 27, he had a holy purpose. That holy purpose, he was a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and who came to Jerusalem for to worship. He was a religious man. He was looking to find God. But you know what? He was working towards it. He purchased his own parchment of Isaiah 53. He was trying to understand it, but there was no one there to help him. So we see that he's a man of high position. He was a man of a holy purpose. Look at verse 30. We see in verse 30 that, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He had it. He had the Bible in hand, but he did not understand it. Why? Because he wasn't saved. There was no one there to help him. There was no one there to help him disciple him. There was no one there to help lead him to the Lord. But wait a minute, little did this Ethiopian know that way on up on the high part of the desert, God was calling Philip and said, Philip, I know that you're busy. Now I want you to start heading down toward the desert, and I want you to just go down to the desert. I want you to head in that direction. You'll never know what you'll find when you obey God. You'll never know. Maybe some of you are the product because someone obeyed the Lord and witnessed to you. Aren't you glad this morning? This morning, if you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and man, you're here and the Bible doesn't make sense to you, and maybe you don't understand a lot of things, maybe you're not saved, maybe you've been seeking to get saved, maybe you would like to be saved, maybe the reason why you're here this morning is because God knew that you needed to hear this message. But we see this Ethiopian, he was a man of position, a man of a holy purpose, but I want you to also understand he had a huge problem. He was hopelessly lost. He bought his own portion of Scripture. He went to Jerusalem to worship, but if he would have died, he would have gone to a sinner's hell. But God loved him so much, he sent Philip to go reach him. God loves the world that he's sending missionaries around the world. And thank God there are missionaries that are obeying that call, because there are people like Susan Pepper that are calling out. And I would have never known about Susan Pepper if I didn't obey the Lord and go. Jeremiah 13:23, can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots? Then they may also do good that are accustomed to evil. We see here this morning that not only this Ethiopian, he had a huge problem of being hopelessly lost, but he was helplessly lost. Why? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him of whom they've not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? He had no one to share the gospel with them. But God called on Philip. Why? Because there was three men needed. The need of a Savior in Jesus Christ. And God gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. And just like Abraham was obedient. And to think, Jesus Christ was obedient too. We see that this sinner, we see that this Ethiopian eunuch, we see that he was obedient as well, because we see a man who will seek, and that's the sinner. And to think there's loads of people in Jacksonville that are seeking to find the Lord, but they may be finding it in a beer bottle, they may be trying to find it in marijuana, they may be trying to find it in work, they may be trying to find it in some other way. But John 14:6 says this, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father but by me. And that leads me to the third man. And that third man is a man who will serve. And that's the believer. I want you to look with me in verse 31. You see, God already knew who he was going to have. God already knew in persecuting the church. God already knew. God already saw this man that was calling out or seeking. Look at verse 31 with me. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would go up and sit with him. Who is that? It's the believer. It's the church member that's in the church. Remember in Matthew 28, Jesus Christ didn't commission the apostles, he commissioned the church. And here we are this morning, we are the church. Who makes up the church? Individual believers. And as believers, God is asking us that we may go out and guide others to the cross of Calvary. But as we look at this morning, I want you to see that Philip, he was a man of the Spirit. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 6. We see that there was... that the people was calling on the apostles to feed the widows and so forth. But we see that church, they called out seven. And as they called out seven, they chose Stephen and they chose Philip. But look at verse 3. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among him seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. God is looking for men and women that are sanctified, that are set apart just for him, in order for them to do a work within their church. And we see that Philip, he was a man of honest report. He was a man of the Holy Spirit. He was a man of wisdom. God will use a person that is sold out for him. And here was Philip. He was just a church member. Sold out. honest, full of the Holy Ghost. So we see that Philip was a man of the Spirit. He was a man of success. Turn with me back to Acts chapter 8. One of the greatest revivals that had ever taken place was because of Philip. Acts chapter 8, verses 5 and 8. As we look at this morning, we see that in verses 5 and 8, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto him. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsy that were lame and were healed. And there was a great joy in that city. Why? They were set free. Let me ask you this morning. When you received Christ as your Savior, was there a joy in your heart?
Amen.
Can someone say amen?
Amen?
Are you of Abraham's seed?
Yes,
are you of faith?
Yes,
are you in Christ?
Yes,
because someone obeyed and given you the gospel. Now what God is asking you this morning is to go out and do likewise. We see that Philip was a man of the Spirit. He's a man of success, but also too, Philip was the instrument that God used in Samaria to bring about the most successful revival recorded. Now, let's look at Philip. We looked at the Ethiopian eunuch, but how did God use Philip? Look with me back in verse 27 again. When God called upon Philip to go into the desert, Philip didn't question God's wisdom. Look at verse 27. And he arose and went. He didn't question God. He didn't question God's wisdom. He was a piece of conduit that God can run a blessing through in order for God to meet somebody else through Philip. He was a willing vessel. And that's what God is asking us to be this morning, a willing vessel. As we see in verse 27, he arose and went. He arose and went. But also, too, how else was this revival taking place? How else was Philip used? He didn't question God's word. Look at verse 29 and 30. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him, and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? Philip would have never seen the Ethiopian eunuch if he had not begged God to go into the desert in the direction that God had asked him to go. God has asked us to go to England. I made it there once, but now we're going again. Since that, we've seen many people saved. Last week, we've seen a 17-year-old surrender his life to full-time Christian service. We had a 17-year-old in Mississippi who gave her life to go to England. We had a family join the church. We had another family that got saved and came, and now they're being discipled. All because we went forward in the direction that God wanted us to go. And in that direction, God wants us to meet some people in order for us to preach the gospel, in order for them to come into conviction, in order for them to get saved, in order for them to be added to the body of Christ. God builds a church. We just need to obey. And as we obey, man, that's a wonderful ride. Why? We take our hands off the steering wheel and let God have control.
Amen.
But in closing, I want to bring this to you. And young men that were helping me with this box, I want you to get ready. We also know, too, that that Philip, he was a man of the Scripture. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same Scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He knew his Bible. You know why churches are closing in England? It's because there's a lack of disciples in the church to carry on the work. There's no one that's willing to get under the pastor to be discipled, to have further education in the Scriptures. Your pastor was telling me this morning about the young folks learning 1 Peter, the whole book of 1 Peter. That's awesome. You are learning the Word of God just like Philip. And that's awesome. But you know what's sad? There are some that don't know how to win someone to Christ. There are some that don't know how to carry on the gospel of Jesus Christ within the church. I believe the demise in America, why churches are falling and why we are losing our grip on Christianity, is because there's a lack of disciples within the local church. In closing this morning, all three men were necessary for one of the greatest revivals written in the New Testament. And I believe all three men are necessary in this local church in order for y'all to carry on the work of missions. Missions in giving, missions in going. But also too, when my wife and I over in England, when we come back, we want to make sure that there are some churches that our grandkids can go to. Who will take our place in America? Well, we're serving on your behalf overseas. We see these three men, the Savior, he left heaven, one of the greatest missionaries ever, to die on the cross to reconcile man back to God. The man who will serve, and that's the missionary. He went to Samaria, preached Christ, obeyed the voice of God, arise and go. And man, we hear about these testimonies. But you see, there was necessary for the Savior. It was necessary for the man who will serve. But it's also necessary for the Ethiopian who is seeking that to obey as well. He obeyed the invitation when Philip said, "Understandest thou what thou readest?" This morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, do you understand it thou, Christianity? Do you understand it? If you die today, do you know 100% sure you go to heaven? If you don't, there's an invitation for you this morning to come forward and receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, and for the to allow the pastor to get in your chariot in order for him to show you on how to get to heaven. As a young man comes up this morning, may you obey what God has asked you to do. And gentlemen who has helped me with this box, I need you to come up, please. And I want you to stand off to the side. But you see, in this passage of Scripture where we had that these four friends brought their friend that was ailing, brought their friend that was sick to the Lord Jesus Christ. They had faith. They knew that that man could not live unless they were brought to the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 16:18, Jesus Christ said, "I will build my church." So who's the authority of the church? The Lord Jesus Christ. So Christ, will you come grab that first string? You see, it took four men to take care, to take that person to the Lord Jesus Christ. This morning we see that the Lord Jesus Christ left his church because we're a spiritual hospital for the spiritual sick, for those that are not saved. And so the Lord Jesus Christ will always hold on to that string, that one end of the bed, to make sure his church is going forward. But in so doing, he entrusts when he calls a pastor to pastor that church. So pastor, I need you to grab the other end of that rope, and I want you to pick that end of the bed up. And in this pastor, God has commissioned this pastor. He said, "Look, this is not your church. This is my church. And man, you are the under shepherd. And I want you to concentrate on missions because that is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the heartbeat in reaching the gospel around the world. And I can work through you. And I want to work through you. And I want to work through you in your neighborhood." And as he preaches, missionaries are called. So I need the missionary to come grab the other string. And as that missionary is under the authority of his pastor, he's discipled, he's trained, he goes to Bible college, and then there's an internship or whatever, but he's trained by his pastor to go doing likewise that his pastor done right there in his local area in order for him to reproduce the church that he was trained in. And so as that pastor grabs that string, then there's the church. Church, I want you to grab the other string. There's four men, but there's three men that is in this mess. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, the man who will save, but then there is a man that will serve, and that's the believer, the pastor. God calls him. Then there's the believer, the man who will serve, and that's the missionary, and he is serving. But then there's the church, the believer. And God is asking them to take the man who will seek, the sinner, that is not able to carry himself to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, I want you to carry them to me. Now, gentlemen, I want you to come up on the pulpit, on the stage, and I want you to come around. And as you come around, make sure you don't drop that sick person now. We don't want him to die because we know he's bored. All right, turn around, come over here. Now, when I tell you to, I want you to go down the stairs. Church, I want you to drop your... All right, now listen. If the church drops his string, that missionary can't grab that string from 5,000 miles away, can he? So, gentlemen, I want you to go forward without the church. Is it hard? How clumsy? It can go forward, but does it have the momentum as it does before? Now, the pastor, he can reach back and try to hold both strings at the same time. Pastor, will that hold you down? Will that hinder you? Yes, it will. So, church, I want you to get back up underneath that, and I want you to try to carry that again, carry that string. We see here that in this illustration, we see on how important the church is in order for missions to operate properly. But you see, it's just not the church. It's the individual that's in the church. All it takes is one person to drop that string, go to the center of the aisle, and I want you to stop. Keep on going. Keep on going. Keep on going. Stop. I'll close here. Jesus Christ is never going to drop that string. The pastor may get discouraged, but I grant you, he's going to be fighting and not to drop that. But you see, if the church dropped their string, that can cause the missionary to get discouraged of not having the support he needs, not having the encouragement. And as he drops his string, drop yours. How discouraging will that be to the pastor? That missionary is representing, go ahead and pick your string up. That missionary is representing you as a church. And church, God is asking you this morning, will you take that string? Will you take that string? You can go out through the double doors, guys. God is asking you this morning, will you take your responsibility of that end of the bed or that end of the rope in order for missions to be successful? As Abraham was obedient in order for you to be blessed this morning, God is asking you to take that rope to carry on to the next generation. But it's by faith, it's by obedience. And this morning, as we pray, let's remember, which one are you? Three men needed. You have Christ. Are you the believer that's serving? Or are you the individual that's seeking? Are you not saved this morning? If you're not, Jesus Christ wants to save you this morning. As the pastor comes up and gives the invitation, let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you for your will and your way. We ask that you just have your way in the services. In Jesus' name, amen.